Right. Joshua chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. Let's get right into it here. Joshua chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, verse 15, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above, in other words, up from upstream, stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. That's an awesome, awesome story of a miracle. So the title of my message, you could never guess, but it's You're on the Brink of a Miracle. How's that? All right. From this portion of Scripture, we see the children of Israel are standing in a very familiar place. 40 years prior, their parents had stood in the same place. On the brink of a breakthrough, they had a breakdown because of their unbelief. In other words, not believing they could defeat the giants in the land and walk into their destiny, they forfeited their promise. Yet they were still God's people. He still loved every one of them. And we know that because He cared for them and He sustained them for over 40 years in the wilderness. Listen, until the doubters had died off. Can I just tell you that one of the greatest tragedies in life is to live and never discover your destiny. But worse than that is to discover your destiny and then to forfeit it. This morning, I want to talk to some folks, unlike this very first generation. I want to talk to some people who know that they have a destiny over their lives and who know there is a reason and a purpose for their existence. I want to talk to the ones who want everything that God has ordained for your life and you refuse to let go, give in, or give up. I want to talk to those that have a fight in your spirit. The kind of fight like Caleb, who the Bible says at 85 years old shouted, "Give me my mountain." I'm talking about the kind of fight that won't be denied, Sister North. Is there anybody in the house this morning who wants what God has promised you? Can you say yes this morning? Is there anybody who refuses then to settle for less than what God has for you? Is there anybody who has their mind made up that whatever the cost, you're going to get what God has promised you? If there's anybody like that in the house this morning, would you just shout out also, "Give me my mountain"?
Give me my mountain.
Hallelujah. Now, if you're satisfied where you're at with what you got, seeing what you're seeing, doing what you're doing, experiencing what you're experiencing, guess what? This message is probably not for you today. So just stay patient, and we'll be through it in a little bit. But if you happen to be one of those rare breeds called a dreamer, and if there's something inside of you that is kicking, and if your spirit then is divinely dissatisfied, and if you know that God has destined you for more, then you're the one I'm talking to this morning. First of all, as a pastor, I would be doing you a disservice if I did not tell you that every promise comes with a price. You've got to know that. We have to understand that there really is no victory without a fight. There is no testimony without a test. There is something that you will have to go through to get your promise. Understand, before Joseph went to the palace, he went to the pit and then went to the prison. Before the three Hebrew children were promoted, they went through the fiery furnace. And between the children of Israel and their inheritance, which was their promised land, there was a river called Jordan. Understand, Jordan means descender, or the one that takes you down. And that's what the Jordan intends to do. It will take you down. It'll kill your dreams. It'll drown your faith. Even in most of our songs, the Jordan River is used to describe death. There is a Jordan then for each and every one of us. Your Jordan may be different from mine, but what is the same is the fact that it stands between my promise and me, and between your promise and you. And the only way then that that you or I can get through it, guess what, is by our faith. You can't float over on your feelings because feelings won't get you across. You can't run over on past experiences, and you can't get through on secondhand knowledge. Religion won't get you through. And the only thing that can conquer Jordan then is a living faith and a living God. In our text of Scripture this morning, we find that as the children of Israel stood at the edge of a raging Jordan River at flood stage, Joshua gives the priest then that carried the Ark of the Covenant the craziest sounding order. He says for them to start walking and step into the water. In other words, start moving in the direction of your promise. You can't go by what you're seeing. You can't go by what you're hearing. You can't go by what you're feeling or what other people are saying. You can't go by what your mind is saying. You can't even go by what the economy is doing and saying. You have to move because God said move. You can't wait until you see a break in the waves. You can't wait until it makes sense. You can't wait till it feels good to your emotions. You can't wait until you see the waters open up in front of you as God did for Moses at the Red Sea. Maybe the first time God did it that way for you when you were just starting out. But you got to understand, you've got some history now with God, and He is required more faith from you now. God says it's time to take the training wheels off. It's time to get rid of the crutches. It's time to move from sight to faith. Are you with me this morning? It's time to move from I hope so to I know so. It's time to move from the milk to the meat. In other words, this time you have to get your feet wet. You have got to have enough vision and enough faith in God to just go ahead now and step on out in it. I know it sounds crazy. I know it doesn't make sense. I know this Jordan River is at flood stage. I know that people are saying it won't work. I know that the circumstances are against me and the odds are against me. But it really doesn't matter as long as God is for me. Because you see, I have a promise that says, if God be for me, Sister Lutine, who can be against me? Listen, that's all you need is a word. When you've got a word from God, you can sleep like a baby in a den of lions. You can walk through a fiery furnace. You can do the impossible. You can bring down Goliath with a sling and a stone. You can have your barrel of meal full and your cruse of oil filled to the brim in the middle of a famine. All it takes is a word. And so we find in the New Testament where Peter has a word. Jesus came upon the scene where Peter and the other fishermen were. And he told them to launch out into the deep and let down their nets for a draught or for a catch. And remember their response, Lord, we've toiled and we've worked hard all night and we have not caught one thing. Allow me to stop right there and ask something. How long do we keep doing what doesn't work? How long do we keep trying to make something happen in our lives before we will turn it over to God and do it then God's way? Finally, we see Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down our net. And we find that when Peter obeyed the word of the Lord, look at somebody and tell them, when he obeyed, he went into overflow. One word from God changed Peter's circumstances. He went from nothing to a too much in one step. From emptiness to overflow in one step. From broke, busted, and disgusted to blessed, happy, and wealthy in one step. The Bible says that he had such an abundance of fish, it almost sank his boat. And then he had to call for the others to come and help bring in the blessings. And it was such an abundance that it almost sank the other boat also. The weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. Peter went from a night season of toiling and being wearied to a morning season of overflow and joy and blessings in one step. Can I just tell somebody who has the faith to just reach out and just grab it? One step away from your miracle seed springing forth. One step away from your breakthrough. One step away from a too much blessing. You've put in your time of toiling. You've put in your time of trying and praying and confessing and waiting and watching. And you are now on the brink of the miracle that you're believing for. And if you can believe then that this is your new season, would you just tell someone, I'm stepping on into my new season. Here's what Numbers 23 and 19 says. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he will do it. If he has spoken it, he will make it good. When the priests stepped in the waters, as soon as their feet touched the surface of the water, the river rolled back. And they walked, and the water fled from beneath them. In Psalms 114 and verse 5, we find David was meditating one day on this particular miracle. And here's what he said. This is from the Message translation. What's wrong with you, sea, that you ran away, and you, river Jordan, that you turned and ran off. This morning, I feel like I need to tell you something. There are some things that have been chasing you. In fact, threatening to drown you and take you under. Now, it might be for some, it might be debt. It might be sickness for others. It might be fear. It might be a bad relationship. It could be trouble with your children. I don't know what it is that's chasing you, but I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a turnaround in the atmosphere. And that which has been running after you, nipping at your heels, is going to be running from you. Yet, watch this now. There is a part that you have to play. You have to stop where you're at, and you have to turn around, and you've got to face it and step toward it in faith. And when you do, you're going to initiate a sprouting forth then of your miracle seed. Amen. This week I found this story and I had read it a long time ago. And it was so neat I come back across it. And actually I'd forgotten about it. The story was of a couple where the wife had broken her ankle. They had just seemingly crawled their way out of over $5,000 worth of credit card debt. And it was if their light was now, if there was, it was as if there was a light now at the end of the tunnel. They thought they were finally getting on solid ground when they were hit again with over $6,000 worth of medical debt. And then their income tax came due to the tune of $1,500. And then to top it all off, their income tax preparer didn't prepare their income tax properly, and it cost them a big penalty. They felt at the moment they were drowning in a sea of debt once again. But several years before, God had given them a word that He was going to cause an abundance to fill their lives. Listen now. And it would be that they would reach a point in their lives, this was the word, that they would be able to give in an abundance to others. So they stood on that word. They fought for that word. They fought fear. They fought discouragement. They fought worry and doubt. They stood on that word and confessed that word through disappointment, through confusion, through fear, and through the tears. Even when everything in their natural circumstances contradicted it, they said many times, "Lord, we don't know how you're going to do it, but you said it and you cannot lie. So, Lord, we believe your word." And then one day in the middle of their trial, God gave them a directive. And it was very simply this: pay your tithe first. They said they'd always been faithful to pay their tithes, but it was not always the first thing to come out of their paycheck. It was usually a check that they would write on the day that they would come to church, and they paid their tithes then. But this revelation struck home to them. He told his wife, "From now on, as soon as we deposit our paycheck, we will write out our tithe check and have it ready for Sunday's offering." They said it seemed like such a small thing since they had always been faithful to do it anyway. Even though it was fifth or sixth place down in their checkbook somewhere down the line. Yet, he said, we obeyed the directive, even though it did not make any sense. And as they obeyed the directive, he said they noticed almost immediately a change. Somebody needs to hear this morning. They noticed a shift. Something started happening. He said our money began to stretch. It was like a miracle. We didn't have any more money, but it just seemed to go farther. And then God opened a door to a side job. And they immediately sensed God working in this. And they began to sow then the income from that side job as a seed offering above and beyond their tithe. And then God gave them another side job. They recognized then that God was working with them now and that they had tapped into something. So they began to use their income from that job also as a seed offering. It didn't make much sense in the natural for them to simply change the time they wrote that tithe check out. But it definitely meant something in the spiritual realm. And it didn't make a lot of sense to sow everything extra that they had coming in because he said they could have used it to pay on a bill or a new TV or high-speed internet or go shopping. Yet he said we obeyed God. And now he said we have debt on the run. And not only did they learn how to conquer debt for themselves, they were now helping others to step into their season of blessings. He said their weekly seed offerings above and beyond their tithe went from just from 5 to 10 to 20 to 30 and then to 50 and then to 100 a week. And then God began to move and give them directions as how to deal with their other finances. And in a very short span of time, the story says, they erased over $15,000 of debt from their lives. And it all started when they took the first step and started writing their tithe check out first. One step began moving them from borrowers to lenders, from barely making it to more than enough. Can I tell you this morning that one step of obedience can turn your situation around and put you in charge? I don't know what Jordan you may be facing today. Your Jordan may be completely different. And I don't know what that one step is that you need to take. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll obey God and take that step, all I can say is Jordan is going to run from you. Poverty and lack are going to run from you. Sickness and disease are going to run from you. Hopelessness and discouragement are going to run from you. Worry and anxiety are going to run from you. Fear and confusion are going to run from you. And we could go on and on. Deuteronomy 28 and 7 says it this way. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against you one way, but they shall flee from you before you seven ways. Amen. One step of obedience. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Listen to me, the miracle is not in the knowing. The miracle is not in the believing, but the miracle is in the doing. When we read the story in Ezekiel about the dry bones, we see that it was when the prophet obeyed the Lord and he started prophesying over those dead dry bones, things started changing. It was a process that continued until there was a full manifestation. Would you just look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm in a process. The Bible says that the priests that were bearing the ark kept moving until they were standing in the middle of the Jordan River. Would you just tell somebody, keep moving. Keep moving. So here's what you do. You keep praying. You keep sowing. You keep coming to church. You keep on confessing. You keep on giving. You keep on tithing. You keep on believing. You keep on praising when you don't feel like it. And even if you don't see anything to praise Him for, you praise Him just because He's God and just because He's worthy of our praise. The main thing this morning is you keep moving. Just don't sit down. The Bible says the priests that were bearing the ark stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. There they were, where it was impossible to go, doing what it was impossible to do. Can you begin then to see yourself going where they said it was impossible to go and doing what they said it was impossible to do? Listen, can we just not be just crazy enough to believe the words of Jesus when He said, with God, all things are possible, and all things are possible to them that believe? Watch this now. While the priest stood in the midst of the Jordan with the ark of God raised in the air, somewhere between 500,000 to 3 million people crossed over. In other words, while the priests were lifting God up in the middle of their trial, in other words, their Jordan, between 500,000 to 3 million people came through on their praise. Would you believe me when I tell you somebody's coming through on your praise? Somebody that wasn't going to make it is going to make it because you praised God in the middle of your Jordan. And you've got to know people are watching every one of us. And that's why it's so important that we lift Him up and we praise Him and magnify Him even in the prison, even in the lion's den, even in the fiery furnace. Lift Him up because somebody's life depends on it. Anybody can praise God after the Jordan. Anybody can praise God after the lion's den experience, after the fiery furnace, after the prison experience, or even after the fact. But there's something, guess what? There's something about a midway praise. There's something about a midnight praise. There's something about in the middle praise that gets God's attention and breaks things open. Joshua erected a pillar of stones in the midst of the Jordan where the priest stood firm on dry ground. What is this pillar of stones, Joshua, and what does it mean? Joshua would say, this is my going through it praise. I'm going through the worst trial of my life, but I'm going to praise Him anyway. I'm going through hell in my finances, but I'm going to praise Him anyway. I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm going to praise Him anyway. I'm going through it with my family or my job. I'm going to praise Him anyway, and I'm not going to complain. Joshua is saying, this is my testimony, and this is my story. And it's that God has been faithful, and somebody else one day, sometime or the other, is going to come this way. And in the middle of their fiery furnace, they're going to see that pillar of praise. And it's going to remind them of the faithfulness of God. And it's going to tell them, Brother Tony, that someone else has passed this way before them. And they did not drown. And they did not burn up in the fire. The lions did not eat them. And prison could not keep them. And somebody else who would not have made it is going to make it because of your praise. Can I just tell you, somebody will come out of depression because of your praise. Somebody's prodigal son or daughter will come home. How? Because of your praise. The Bible says at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them, the Bible says. Guess what? It didn't say they joined in with them. It didn't say they even enjoyed the singing. It just says they heard it. And suddenly there was an earthquake that shook the foundations of the prison. And every door, the Bible says, flew open. And every prisoner's bands were loosed. I love this part in Joshua in that last verse, verse 17. It says, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. I wish I'd have taken you up on it, Jennifer. She said, do you want to preach down there? I said, no, up here's fine. I said, it'd be cool up here. Y'all see icicles forming up here now. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground. This is perhaps the greatest part of the miracle. Not just that they made it through, but there was, watch this, there was no evidence, there was no residue that they had been through what they had been through. They didn't even have any mud between their toes. Just like the three Hebrew children, when they came out of the furnace, their clothes were not burned. Their hair was not singed. And there was not even a smell of smoke on them. Can I just tell you, God is going to get you out. You're coming out. And when you get out, you're not going to look like what you've been through. You're not going to look like what you've been through. When you get out, there's not even going to be any evidence left of the hell that you went through. And it all started when the priest obeyed the Lord and stepped into the water. There's somebody waiting for you to step in. Listen to me, you could be the key to someone else's miracle. If you really believed that one step on your neighbor's part would release the miracle seed in you, let me just ask, how would you talk to them? Get your silly stuff. No. Get yourself off that couch now. Would you just nudge your neighbor and tell them, let's get the miracle started? Why don't you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead. Let's play it. That's fine. No, let them play. That's fine. Go ahead. Just turn it down. You did good. Y'all did good. Thank you for being ready, Reed. It's okay. You don't have to. You stay right there. Got to tell many of you, because I know you've come to me. I have felt your prayers this week. Isn't it awesome when you have the body of Christ that comes to you? Say, Pastor, I just want you to know we've been praying for you. Speaking words of encouragement to you. It's a blessing, and I have felt it this week especially. Hallelujah. Can we just praise Him with a hand clap right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a coincidence if you're here today listening to this word. Right before we end today, would you just find somebody, take their hands, just come into agreement with them. Just take somebody by the arm or by the hand that you can come into agreement with, and we're going to pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Lord, you see everybody's life. You see everybody's story in this house today. You see what each person's Jordan is. You see what they've been going through, what they've had to deal with for months. Seems like it's been forever. But Lord, I thank you today because your word has reminded us that if we will just step out on your word and be obedient to your word, that we'll see things begin to change. So Lord, I thank you now. I don't know what each person's circumstances are, but you know. And you know what directive that you want to speak into their lives. So Lord, as we stand here together, and those that are here, Lord, have come into agreement by holding someone's hand or someone's arm or standing next to them, we're coming into agreement with each other that, Lord, from this day on, we're going to do all that we can do in being obedient to your voice. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word does not lie. You do not lie. What you said that you would accomplish, you will accomplish. So, Lord, I just ask, God, that you meet every need. Lord, I thank you today. There's power in an agreement. So, Lord, we're declaring that things are changing. We're declaring that we're going to step over and we're going to step in to our miracle. We're on the brink, but we're stepping in. We're not going over on feelings. We're not going to go over past experiences, but we're going to go over into faith and knowing that everything's going to be all right because we're going to continue to praise you. Oh, there's not going to be a thing that will silence our voice, but we're going to sing louder and longer and declare your word louder and more than ever before. You thought we were foolish now, but you just wait. You hadn't seen anything else. You hadn't seen anything. I thank you today, mighty God. We bind the work of the enemy over our lives in Jesus' name. Every ambushment, every trick, let it come to naught. Let it be broken in Jesus' name. And we declare the plans and purposes of God come to pass in our lives, to be fulfilled. Our destiny, we're going to see our destiny fulfilled in Jesus' name, and it will not be forfeited. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap one more time? Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Oh, ha, ha, ha. Woo! Praise God. I love you. God bless you.